Hello and welcome to Graduate Theory. Today's episode is all about taking action. How do we go from an idea, a thought, into something that's tangible and into actions that we can actually do? Today's episode, we dive into this framework of how to convert these things and these possibilities that seem so far off into tangible things that you can take action on today. During this episode, my guest coaches me through one of my own problems at the moment. And so I think this will be a really great resource for you so you can go and analyze some of your problems and the things that you're putting off with this same framework that we discussed today. This was a really, really impactful episode for myself, and I hope you enjoy. Today's guest is an experienced entrepreneur, public speaking coach, and career skills expert. He's the CEO of Junior Achievement Australia, helping people across the country succeed in employment and entrepreneurship. Please welcome to the show, Aaron Ngan.
Hello. Thank you, James. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I'm excited to be on this podcast and share whatever I can. So I'm in your hands. Let's go.
Perfect, man. Well, yeah. Today, I'd love to chat about so many things. There's a lot of things that you do and, really closely related to careers and a lot of the themes around this podcast. But one thing I want to speak about first is this idea of taking action. And something we spoke about before you came on today was around, making that decision to not just sit on the sidelines, but actually to get in the arena and start doing something, start making something, start selling something, whatever that might be. And I'm curious, what is that kind of process looked like for yourself in your life? Are there times like that where you really had to sort of dive in and make something happen?
Absolutely. I'd say on the big picture, that idea of staying in the stands or getting into the arena, that's incredibly critical, because this is one of the things which is like all the times I've been held back, all the times I've felt stuck, all the times I felt like I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know, what action should I take, or what should I try out? And these are things when I speak with lots of young people, in university, just out of university, even early in their careers, these are common sort of themes of what's going on, what's the right thing? Especially the world's gone nuts. What do I do? Every single one of those things for myself and also for people I speak to, really I've noticed in those moments of being stuck, what's right there is that being in the stands, being the observer. And what that really looks like is I need to do all the research. Let me go get all the research done. Let me find out all the options. Maybe let's chat to a bunch of people and let's find out what the best thing is. Can I do this? Maybe what if I create a plan? We should create a plan. That's what we need to do. Let's go create a plan. Oh, wait, what are all the different circumstances? What could go wrong? All of this comes up and there's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with doing research. But every time I've gotten stuck, where I'm at is I'm in this world of I'm not taking any action. And this is where I have a big challenge as well, sometimes, because when I'm out there seeing different content, seeing different workshops, seeing different things for people to learn, students, just like your listeners who are committed to really taking their career to the next level, one of the things that I see missing the most is what are the actions to take? What are the actions to take? Because having all that theory, having all that background, having all that research, understanding why something works is incredibly fascinating. And it's often really helpful. And none of it gets any sort of impact unless someone takes action. And that's what I guess the core sort of idea that I'm super excited to share with people, because I do public speaking coaching. That's one of the main things that I focus on. And I've seen so many articles, I've seen so many TED Talks, I've seen so many YouTube videos all about, here's the theory. This is how you stand. This is different ways to modulate your voice. You should pause to let things sink in for effect. And that's all really nice, right? That's all really nice. And what I used to do, and this is mirrored from almost everyone that I speak to, is I'd be like, oh, wow, that's really nice. And then I'd save the YouTube video, I'd put it to a playlist of all my educational YouTube videos so I can refer back to it later. And then I just not look at it. And maybe 2, 3, 4 years later, I look back at that playlist. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Maybe I'll do something about it. And I realize, if I'm honest, I actually haven't done anything. I actually haven't taken any action. And even though I'm someone now who I would say has a decent amount of muscle and practice in taking action, I'll still give you some examples. It's not like I'm immune to it. It's not like you ever get immune to it, because the thoughts just come up. Like, hey, how's this going to work? Can I do this? Will people listen? Will people sign up? And James, you've created your own podcast. You've created this podcast, Graduate Theory. And there would have been a period of time between when you're like, I'm going to do this, to when you actually started it.
Yeah.
Because there was a point where you're like, I'm 100% going to do this. And then like for me, that was 2017, I was like, right, I got one or two people together. I'm like, I need to create like my own public speaking coaching program. I've been doing it unofficially. I've been doing it for various events. I've just had people in various competitions and workshops that I've run, and I'd give them that coaching and they'd get great results. I'm like, I just need to put this into my own course. 2017. Didn't actually do anything about it. Didn't get any customers. Didn't put anything. Maybe did like one free workshop, which was really, if I'm honest, just like part of this other program which was doing. So I didn't actually create anything extra or new to test it. I just kind of was like, hey, just come to this. And it wasn't until 2020, and we're in the middle of everything's in lockdown. No in-person meetings are happening. And I'm like, you know what? Now's the time. Like, why? Because there is no other time. Like, there isn't. I could wait for another 3 years. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put together the first course. Who am I going to get? Like, I was running two workshops back to back, like day after day, like Wednesday, Thursday, for Real Skills Education. They do like entrepreneurial training for engineers in universities. And they had me come running two public speaking workshops. I'm like, you know what? At the end of it, I'm just going to pitch it. I'm going to see who shows up. I'm going to run the first one as a pilot program, three weekends in a row, 1, 2, 3. And over 6 weeks, like with a fortnight gap, let's just do it. And we had 12 people sign up and go, yeah, I want to do this. And I was like, wow, okay, that's cool. And now I'm like, wow, I have to actually make this now. So in taking that action, in setting the dates, in offering it, and offering it was really the biggest sort of thing, because I was like, I don't know if this is going to flop or not. Then I discovered, okay, hold on. Now this is pulling me into action. So the action was pulling me into action, because now I've got these people who've committed to taking themselves on, expanding their public speaking skills. I've actually got to write this thing in a way that's going to make a difference for them, in a way that they're going to get to experience it, in a way that where they walk out authentically able to be able to speak confidently and effectively on any topic in front of any audience. Because that was like when I wrote down the promise of the course, I said, like, what's the promise of this course? And like, that's it. Like, you'll be able to confidently and effectively present on any topic in front of any audience. And they walked out being able to do that. And I was like, okay, now I've got something. Mm-hmm. And from that course, I had two more people. They brought their friends along. They shared it with their friends. I had two more people. I'm like, crap, now I've got two more customers. I need to go fill the rest of this second course. But I'm so glad that I didn't waste another 3 years. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. Okay, what's the action to take? So that's kind of the overall theme, because when you take action, like, I got to discover a whole world of it. I got maybe two, three years, like in those 2 weeks, I learned more about putting together that course, the structures. How do I get a payment structure in place? How do I find out what they want to accomplish? I wasted a lot of time trying to like figure out like a website just so I could get a sales page up by the end of the course. But I learned more in that 2 to 6 week period than I did in the 3 years of just going, yeah, I really want to do this. I've definitely got the skills for it. I knew I had the skills for it. Logically, theoretically, I knew I had the skills, but I didn't have any proof or evidence. But taking the actual step, now I've got the theory, and I've discovered, you know what, this is something which I can do. This is something which I really am able to do. Yeah. So I guess the first kind of takeaway or lesson for that is theory and the information and all the research that you might do, none of it's bad. Like, in fact, it's often really helpful. But once you take the action, you get to know for yourself that this is something which you can do. And there's a whole bunch of other learnings and benefits which come with that. I guess that's the key theme to start off with.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. So many things that like we can go off from there, but just on what you said, just to finish there around the information and things like that. I mean, I've found even for myself, you know, I used to read a lot of books, and that was almost like the thing that I did, like, you know, just try and read as many books as I could in a year. And then, like, since starting the podcast and actually, like, doing something, you know, almost with that information, you kind of realize, like, yeah, I've read books on marketing, but, like, now I have to actually, like, market the thing, like, market the podcast. And it's just like, okay, I probably didn't actually retain much of, like, what I read. And so reading it again now with the sort of, you know, way that you would actually implement the advice makes it a lot more effective, I think. And so I feel like you can get into, and I certainly did, got into that, just like reading and like researching like so much, and that almost like led me to not do the thing, like not use the information. And then I found like once I actually having to use it, then like, you know, I'd almost prefer like, you know, starting like doing something and then using the information to kind of power that versus like making the information like its own thing. I just certainly found that for myself. Like if I read a marketing book now, the whole time I'm like, okay, how am I going to use this? How am I going to use this? Like whatever. Whereas if I don't have something to use it for, then I'm like, okay, like nice book, like cool concepts about marketing, like tick, read. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, I think this, like, even just from like a perspective of like being able to learn, having something to like implement the things you're learning, just like makes you learn way more, even from that perspective, not even from like the actual doing of the thing, which I think is, yeah, also really cool.
Yeah. And look, like, I really want to emphasize that this isn't a, what, like what my thoughts are, not that informational learning is bad. On the contrary, informational learning, conceptual learning, theoretical learning is critical in so many different areas of like how we live in the world. Right? It's critical. You don't become a theoretical physicist that's calculating how we get to the moon, how do we get to Mars, or how do we deal with some of these really complex challenges without an incredibly strong foundation on those underlying theories and underlying academic ideas. Okay, so those are really critical. However, for like what I would say is that for most people starting off their career, making that transition from primary school, high school educational systems into one of adult learning, that experience, that taking action in the everyday aspects of our life, we've got it the wrong way around largely. Because the way that a lot of people, especially recent graduates, soon to be graduates, have it is, I need to do all the research first so that I'll be ready. And what invariably happens is we do the research, we find out, we ask people, we look up websites, we jump on YouTube. We find out all of these different things. Some of it's confusing because some people are saying the same thing. Other people are saying different things. Like my resume review advice, typically people often tell me the number one piece of feedback which they give me is like, I've never heard anyone explain it or describe it or put it into action in the same way that you have. I'm like, wow, like that blows my mind. But what you said is perfect, because the moment you start getting into action, the moment you start taking action, you start actually experimenting, trying things out, discovering, then you go back to those same resources. And now all of a sudden, the actions that you take pull forth all of that value from those resources. You're like, okay, cool. I'm actually doing a podcast now. I've actually got to do the marketing. Now I'm going to read this book and going to get 20, 30 new ideas immediately, because you're actually taking the action. And you're taking the action in a way that allows you to discover a bit of that world. And the more that we can actually do that combination and give people a space to do that combination, that's incredibly powerful. And that's where growth, discovery, development, that's where it all starts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I liked what you said there about, you know, like, you know, waiting to be ready, like thinking you haven't learned enough versus like,
never going
to
happen.
Yeah.
You'll never be ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really important to recognize, is that, you know, these kinds of things, whatever it might be, like if you just dive in and like you're just going to learn so much and you're just going to be able to do, like, I don't know. it's hard to describe, but I think that once you're actually doing it, then it becomes clear the things you have to learn. Yeah, you're really under pressure to learn. And I think that really like brings out a lot more good than just, you know, sitting on the side and researching and learning. And not that that's inherently bad, but I think, you know, if you really want to maximize getting the good stuff out of these things, then it's worth being involved.
And kind of taking the view of like, I'm actually never going to be ready. For some people, that's incredibly empowering. Okay, given I'm not going to be ready ever, okay, why don't I just go for it? For some people, you could get yourself in a bit of a bind with it. Like, and I would assert that if you're in a bit of a bind, I'm never going to be ready, that's all part of still wanting to be ready. Another way to look at it inside of the world of taking action, once you take the action, you then get to discover that you are exactly as ready as you are. Because you've taken that action and you've achieved whatever result you achieve. So you are exactly ready. You are perfectly ready to achieve that result. The difference is now that you've taken the action, now that you've achieved the result, even if the result is no one signed up or nothing happened or it flopped, now you've got a result that actually gives you some evidence. It's outside of your head. It's in the world. You've got some results. You can say, okay, awesome. I took the action and it worked out great. or this is how many people signed up. Like for me, it was like, okay, 12 people are here. And then when I first, and that was a free trial program. So pretty off the hook for me, to be honest. But then when I offered it for the first time out of that first free program, and they got to invite their friends, and like 3-4 people came along, two of them actually paid and registered. I'm like, okay, cool. That's now the new result measure. And now I can kind of go, okay, like I was ready for that. How do I know? Because I did it. In fact, everything that you accomplish, and notice that nothing gets accomplished unless you take action. So nothing gets accomplished unless you take action. And the results that you get from the action that you take are exactly, precisely what you're ready for. But we're trying to go in our head to find out, am I ready? Am I not? I don't know. Take the action. You'll find out.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. And I'm curious to hear, because I know that, you know, we're talking about that sort of gap now between, you know, almost the hesitation between, you know, thinking that you're not ready and then doing it. I'm curious for yourself if there's been times where you have had that delay and you've sort of wanted to do something but have had that doubt. And, you know, I think it's, you know, a fairly common thing, but I'm curious to hear like your experience with that.
Yeah, like the biggest and most present example of that is, like I mentioned before, like 2017, I remember distinctly, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do my own public speaking course. I'm going to do it. Like I've got the experience. Everyone that I coach, like one-on-one, they do a pitch, they do a presentation. I give them the coaching and they just kind of go from like nervous to like, okay, cool. I can actually express myself naturally. Not like that fake. Today, we're going to talk about none of that fake sort of presenting, which you kind of get taught in high school or school, but actual natural self-expression, like natural exuberance. I was already accomplishing that with people, just not in my own course and not in my own program. And I delayed that for, 2 to 3 years till end of 2020. And if I have a look back, like a lot of that hesitation was, okay, how do I structure the course? I don't know if I'm going to structure it well. What do I put in? How am I going to find people to attend? How do I promote it? And if I really look back, I wasn't actually dealing with any of those questions, right? Because there is a form of action called, I'm going to write down all the things which I'm actually uncertain about. Get clear that, in fact, you know what? I am certain about something. I'm certain about all those things about which I'm uncertain, right? So I am certain about something. I'm certain that I just don't know a bunch of stuff. And then actually having a look, what is it going to take to resolve that? I didn't do any of that. Any of that. And this is powerful, right? Because it's not like I didn't know to do that. It's not like I hadn't done productivity courses or seen like YouTube clips of like how to live a productive life. I knew all of that. In fact, all of that theory, knowledge has been out there for ages. And it's readily available. It's readily accessible. So I knew all that. Lack of information wasn't the key. It was just kind of like whatever was there was like I just didn't take the action. And even when it came up to it, one of the things which kind of led to that was the resume things. We were talking about this before we started recording, right? Like so in 2020 as well, one of the things which I did was, hey, I've worked in this world of coaching and supporting and empowering young people to develop their career, develop entrepreneurship skills, develop financial literacy. So I'm very well-versed in this space. and I've spent 5+ years doing it officially, 10+ years doing it unofficially or informally. And I was like, okay, wow, we're in a global pandemic. What's something I can do? People are struggling with careers and jobs and things like that. So much uncertainty at that time. So I was like, I'm going to put up on LinkedIn, get a free resume review. And I would do it on Zoom and all that sort of stuff. And anyone can do it. I was really focused. I was thinking I'd just get a handful of people from the Sydney area. But I ended up getting people, I think 20% of people came from like one university in the States. I looked it up. Like it's a worldwide like top 20, top 30 university. I was like, oh, I didn't know you existed. Mm. But got into one of the communities there. They started sharing it with all their friends. But inside of doing that, I was like, wow, this would be a cool idea. And even then, from when I had that idea to, I just knew it was going to work. Even then, I still hesitated for a good like month.
Mm.
And I started noticing myself going, oh, I'll write the post tomorrow. Oh, I'll write it next week. Oh, I need to figure out a scheduling system first so I can book people in, because I don't want to be back and forthing on LinkedIn with people to message. I just want to give them a link and they can book it in. Oh, what do I do? Oh, what if I record them? What's going on there? Like, should I create a template first? Should I create a template that I can give them at the end? So I just kind of noticed myself just getting caught up in all of this sort of stuff, which was just kind of delaying taking the action. And then finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to put it out there. And I actually didn't have the scheduling link ready. I didn't have any of that. Actually, that turned out being really good, because instead of posting on LinkedIn and saying, hey, click this link, I told them, hey, just comment down below in the chat, me, please. I want a resume review, please. Something like that. The unintended effect was, as they commented, their friends saw it, more people saw it, people who liked the post saw it, and it just kind of created this viral sort of, viral on a small scale, but like my first post had about like 6,000 to 7,000 views within the first like 4 days, and about like 50 plus interactions, likes, comments, things like that. And within the first kind of like 3-4 hours of it, I was like, okay, people are starting to comment. I need to quickly. And then like all of that umming and ahhing, like what's the right thing? It just got pretty simple really, because I'm like, right, I'm on a deadline now. And I went and created the link. I was like, okay, we've got Calendly, we've got Acuity scheduling, we've got a bunch of these different things. I'm just going to pick one. And then I found one which would integrate really well with my calendar, integrated with Zoom. I'm like, here. And then I would have done about 10 to 20 different tweaks to that first post, to the system, to all that sort of stuff. But ultimately, it was all kind of in the motion, in the action of it.
Mm.
So, and then end of the day, did about 200, 250 of those over the course of a couple of months, built up a bunch of networks. I built up an incredibly diverse range of just awareness of different careers, different types of skills, different types of things. Nowadays, I have people come to me and go, hey, like, do people pay you to do this? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So I actually do this as a paid service now, instead of doing just the 30 minute, like we go on Zoom and then I let you go and take the action yourself sort of thing. Like I actually go, okay, cool. We'll still do that because I can do that incredibly fast now. And I'm going to take it away. I'm going to find out all the details, going to pull it out. I'm going to send you a couple of drafts and you're going to send it back. And then you have that. And I'll review it as many times as you need in like the 14 day period. And now people pay me a couple of $100 to do that. I'm like, that's not bad. Like it takes me like 1-2 hours, maybe like half an hour of initial face-to-face work, and then another hour and a half of like just going off and just doing it. But it's something which I really enjoy, and it brings in like a bit of side cash as well. And I also had like an old friend. One's a business which is pretty active targeting young people, and was building a resume builder sort of website. And he was like, oh, I saw those posts. I was like, that's really cool. Can you come in and record a series of short videos, and we'll pay you to do those? So I ended up getting a couple of grand just to do a couple of short videos that actually was like, wow, now I get to create content as well. That's cool. Because that's something I've been putting off as well.
Yeah.
So there's no shortage of things that I put off But I've also started to kind of go, look, nothing ever happens without taking the action. And sometimes it's just a case of, okay, well, what action am I going to take today?
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. It's really amazing, I think. There's so many things I want to go off from that.
Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah. One of them is like, oh, I'm just blanked on that. Okay. One of the other ones was like, you know, like I've heard startup people, they'll kind of say, you know, 0 to 1 is like the hardest part. 1 to 10 is like, you know, you're still building and working out, like refining. And then 10 to 100 is like more of the scaling kind of side of things. So it's certainly something where, you know, often you can be put off at the start where it's like, you've got to like go from there's nothing at all to, okay, I finally, like I have something like for yourself with that LinkedIn post. Like, you know, there was nothing and then you had to like make the post and like think of all this stuff. And that was almost the biggest step. But once you had the post, then it becomes like refining, you know, like you said, you made some edits to it, like, you know, working out like the calendar, that kind of stuff. Like now you actually have something, it's a little bit easier to then like change this and refine it and perfect it. And then once you have something that's like, that's working well, then it's like, okay, how do we turn up the volume on this a bit and make it into something that's, which is almost like what you've done, where you've turned it now into something that's not just free, it's paid. And like there's people coming to you for this kind of thing. So I think that's really cool. And I think, yeah, I mean, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, you know, that 0 to 1 stage, if that's something that you've seen in your own experience where like that's just starting is often the hardest bit. And once you're kind of in motion, then things have become a little bit more straightforward.
Yeah, absolutely. Like there's a couple of 0 to 1s in that, right? And the first sort of like when you've actually created something, when you've actually put something out there, that's one version of like, from like there was nothing there and now people know about it. Then there's a next step was, okay, cool. Who's my first customer? Now, if your first customer, in my case, my first customer for the resume reviews, that was 200 of them, which were all for free, right? So those were free customers. So I was getting my first free customer. Then the next 0 to 1 was, okay, who's my first paid customer? So there's different steps of the whole thing. And the moment you start to break it down, it actually becomes that you get a bit of space with it. You get to actually kind of go, okay, you know what? I'm not actually having this. It would be inappropriate for me to start trying to deal with how do I get from this to making 200K a year or 10K a month or whatever, right? Yeah. Because that's not appropriate to the level you're at. Now, for all of those 0 to 1s, there's the psychological difficulty of it, and then there's the actual difficulty of it. Yeah. And in my case, I've been very active on LinkedIn, or I've been active on LinkedIn sufficiently that I've got like 8,000, 9,000 connections, majority of which I've personally met at various points over the last couple of years. And I've just been doing a lot in this space. So there's a bit of that awareness there. Now that's already built up. That's already banked. Like, so when I put out something like a resume review, people already are like, oh, that makes sense, because I've built up that brand. So I actually already got a bunch of stuff there, but the difference was there was still that sort of block of like, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get around to it. I knew it's going to work. But when you can take that first step and then take that next first step, like what I really had to kind of confront is like, okay, what do I actually need to do? Like really, like what do I actually need to do? And I realized that the only thing I actually needed to do first up was put up the post. I actually didn't need to sort out any of the scheduling. Like, in fact, when's the time that I need to sort out the scheduling is when I've actually got the first expression of interest. Because then I've got someone to send the expression of interest to. If I wait and delay it, then I've really just delayed the amount of time that people have to actually find out about it. So I actually gone, okay, cool. You know what? Like I can just do the post now. Everything else I can figure out. When someone was like, hey, I want to do this. I want to offer it to a friend, but I want like, they're keen to pay for it. Like, do you have this? I was like, yeah. And then I had to figure out, okay, what am I going to charge for it? What am I going to offer? Like, what's the package going to involve? Now, if I had spent all this time early, I probably would have come up with something, but the chance that it would have been the right fit or the right sort of thing would be actually like very close to just pure chance.
Yeah.
Or at least just kind of guided by like what I think as opposed to what I've known or experienced. Because in that situation, I had someone coming to me going, hey, we want this. We want this actual thing. We want review resume. And I got to ask him, hey, what specifically are you after? What sort of job are you going for? What sort of background are you experiencing? And in getting all of that information by chatting to someone who was actually a potential customer, potential paying customer, I got to go, oh, that's actually what they need. I got to find out from them as opposed to kind of like trying to figure it out in my head, right? If left to my own devices, none of that was going to be figured out. Or if it was figured out, it would be unreliable. Because it's my guess as opposed to actually going finding out from the actual people.
Yeah, that's a good point, definitely. And now I'm curious to hear, taking that leap, that 0 to 1, what are some like tools or like mental things that you use to overcome that? Because, is there anything that you sort of turn to in those situations or like perhaps like this, like mental triggers that you have that kind of, you sort of snap out of it and you're like, wait, hold up, like I'm going to actually do this.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you go through in that process?
Yeah, probably. And these are going to sound incredibly simple. So whenever there's a feeling of like being stuck, and I use this when I coach people as well in either personal productivity or career things, or in the entrepreneurship sort of very, very early level startup space. Like the number one thing is, okay, like start by writing down a list of, okay, what do I not know and what do I need to know? Just list it all down. And what are the actions? And that's often like a kind of a step zero. Then step one would be, okay, listing down what are the actions that I need to take to actually start doing that. And any action which seems particularly confusing or uncertain, really you can actually get that, okay, if there's this step that's called, okay, I need to create a website. Like for a lot of people, that's like, I don't know how to do that. And including for me still, though, I've now put out like a bunch of different things. If that's one of the steps, okay, I need to build a website. And that step for me, and I've gone through this, is like, how do I do that? Now the next step is to kind of go, okay, so get clarity on that. What are the different steps that I need to take? Now, one of the most helpful things that I heard from someone, I forget who, which is really unfortunate, but it's probably a book on it, to be honest, was find the smallest actionable step that you can do that takes you closer to where you want to go. So find that smallest actionable step. And then once you can find that, and like ideally smallest actionable step, just to give it some tangibility, you're talking like 5 minutes to an hour max. If it takes longer than that and it's not like a smallest actionable step, the smallest actionable step might be, okay, I'm going to list out the 3 things which I need to go find out. And then you can actually go, okay, you know what, I'm going to take this step and then find out. Because all of the other steps, right, like often you can find the first step or you can find the first couple of steps. But without actually taking those first couple of steps, you won't even know the right questions to ask for how to get to that 0 to 1 point, that first step. So what's the smallest thing you can do? And then just be like, schedule a time to do it and then do it.
Yeah, I think that's useful, because I think, if you think, let's say you haven't started something and you're looking to do something and then you're looking at like, step number 10, thinking like, oh, it's going to be hard because like, what am I going to do when that happens? then it becomes tricky because you don't know what it's even going to be like at that point. But like you've said, even if you just take this, like I'm just going back to your LinkedIn example, creating the post and then like creating the calendar stuff is like step 2. So if you just do step 1, which is literally just like make a post on LinkedIn, that's quite easy to do. And thinking about like, how am I going to charge money when someone like, that's like a, that's
completely
a way down
not
the line.
Appropriate
so,
at that stage.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and sometimes like you can probably get overwhelmed by thinking about that and just like, looping on this thing and like, okay, or maybe even like you think about it too much and then it becomes a reason why you're not even doing the first step. But I think that's
another thing you can do there is start to work it out. Okay, here's a bunch of things I could do. And you know what? Like I'm going to keep on thinking about it if left to my own devices. So I'm just going to write down all the things I could do and actually have a look. Okay, when would it be appropriate to now do those things?
Yeah.
Is it going to be based on time? For example, okay, in 2 months' time, I'm now going to have a look at that. Or is it based on circumstance? Like, okay, you know what? Like when I've done 100 of these resume reviews, then
I'm going to start looking at how I can monetize it or how I can start offering it as a paid service for people who want that. Hmm. And then you can go, okay, I'm going to schedule it for that time. And I'm only going to look at it at that time. All the ideas, I might jot them down. I might get them out of my head onto paper, onto digital or somewhere to keep track of it, in a backlog or a task list somewhere. But I might say, hey, this is the task list that I'm only going to do once I reach, for example, 100 paid or 100 free customers. And then there might be another thing. Okay, like once I've reached 100 paid customers, there might be some new things to do, including like, actually, now I'm here, like actually have a look, like what do I actually want to do here now? Because what you thought you would do at that stage and what when you're actually in that stage, there might be overlap, but like chances are you're going to have a whole new world of like what you've discovered in that process that you'll have just a whole bunch more, probably even cooler stuff to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And I'm curious to hear then, like, you know, what would your advice be to someone that's, you know, let's say they're on the fence, they've got some idea that they want to pursue, you know, they want to like start doing something like that. And they're sort of in the middle of, you know, deciding, should I not kind of thing. I mean, what would your advice be to someone in that situation?
I mean, the generic advice, and I'd love to actually ask you, okay, what's something where that's just get it really practical and tangible for the listeners. I'll ask you in a moment.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
What's something which you're like umming and ahhing about? Because then we can work through that. But the generic advice is, and really like what I'd say to people listening to this, I actually have a look at what is the thing that you're umming and ahhing about. Like, because if you take this in, if listeners take this in, like a theory or a concept, it's not going to make a difference, unfortunately. It's going to be nice. Okay, yeah, I'll review that later. Maybe I'll bookmark this podcast and come back to it when I finally want to do it. But if you have a look, everyone in their life, like people, we have all these things which we are umming and ahhing about. Like we don't wake out, at least I don't wake up out of bed, and I don't know too many people who wake up out of bed default, like decisive, knowing exactly what I'm going to do each certain day. Like that takes, for most people, there is a subset, for most people, an incredible amount of discipline and training and actual development to get to that stage. So for most people, especially for most people like who are young, early in their careers, including whilst they're still at university, aren't automatically like that. So we do have these ums and ahs. And what I would say is actually find out what's stopping me. So you could write down a list. Okay, like what's stopping me? Like what am I? Uncertainties, write them all out. Number one, I'm uncertain about this. Will I have enough time? Will I be good enough? Will people listen? Like, what if it doesn't work? What if I embarrass myself? Like, these are just some common ones, but like everyone's going to have their own sort of flavor. And then the second thing, and this is really powerful within startup sort of methodology, is it's really powerful to get that within a startup process, you're not actually out for the answer. In fact, there's no such thing as the answer. Because the moment you get the answer, like it's the only answer, like this is how it can be done and this is how it should be done, now like you've actually kind of closed off like everything else that could have been possible if you kept on asking, hey, what else could I do? What else could I do? So my initial advice would be, okay, what are some really small, easy experiments that I could do? Like a simple experiment might be, hey, I've been thinking about launching some free resume reviews for people. Just type in yes in the comments if like you'd be interested in finding out about that. Like if I look back, like that's like I could have put that post up, just put up a LinkedIn poll. Yes, no.
Yeah.
It just kind of seen. And now I also know who said yes, so I could actually contact them. Like in hindsight, that's what I would have done because that would have been so much easier than writing this like pretty, ended up being a pretty long, I had to trim down from the maximum character limit for a LinkedIn post. I had to trim it down a couple of times. It would have been a lot simpler if I just kind of led with that sort of initial proof of concept. But I didn't. I spent all that time umming and ahhing about it. But what's the key thing is like, what's the smallest experiment that I could do? How would I know that experiment succeeded? And what are the really simple, easy actions I can take to have that experiment go live? Okay, and I'll ask you, like what's something for you that you've you've been humming and ahhing about.
Yeah. At the moment, one thing that I'm considering doing is, so often with this podcast, every episode of this podcast at the end, I ask the guest, you know, what's some advice you'd give yourself if you were starting your career again, you know, at the start of this year. And so they'll come up with some kind of an advice for a new graduate, you know, kind of things that, you know, just like fairly generic tips almost that they'd give someone.
Mm.
And what I'm thinking about doing is kind of taking those things and putting them into some kind of a resource that someone could then like go and use and whatever, and just having them all in an ebook or something like that. I think that would be like, you know, a good way to compile a lot of the advice, kind of get a lot of the good stuff without having to listen to like all the hours of podcasting. But yeah, again, it's this kind of thing where like, what's the best way to do that? Like, how do I even like do that kind of thing? Because like I've never done that before.
Yeah,
you know,
I get it. And how many guests have you had on your podcast?
I think this episode we're recording now is going to be episode 17. So, and probably I'll be at 20 within the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
Okay, great. So you'll have 20 guests. Like, so what's something which you could do that would be an experiment where you could actually find out?
Yeah.
Like, we skipped the step about what are you uncertain about, but like, if you want it, we can go through that. What are you uncertain about? In fact, you said it automatically. You were like, I've never done this before. What else was there?
Yeah, I think...
I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it. I'm not sure if people would even, you know, if they would even download it or if it would just be a waste. Because it would, you know, obviously it's a fair bit of time investment to make something like that.
Yeah.
Especially if it's going to be good.
Take a lot of effort. Will people download it?
I'd want people to know that
it's like, got
to
be good.
They're going to get it. Yeah. yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think now, those would be the main ones.
What other concerns do you have? So those are the main ones. What other concerns do you have? Or just uncertainties? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, like, perhaps what would be the best way to share it with people. Like, should I make people pay for it or should it just be free? You know, like, what's even, like, designing the actual book itself? Like, how do you make it actually look good? And even the writing itself, like, what's the best way to convert someone's answer in a podcast into a text format that's, like, nice to look at, like, well-illustrated, that kind of thing, like, should I do that myself? Or does like, do I get someone else to help? Like, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah. How do I take out all of the ums and ahs, I'm going to start a new sentence in the middle of this idea because I just had this new idea. But first, let me come back to that old idea. All of that. How do I edit it?
Yeah.
How do I illustrate it? How do I make it visually appealing?
Mm.
Should I get people to pay for it? Should it be free? If it's free, what if they don't value it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. So just. And there's probably more, right? You could probably come up with more.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, have a look, right? Just getting present to all of those different things. Now that you've actually acknowledged it, you've said it out loud, you've got it recorded, you can go back and actually write down all of them when you review this podcast later. What are you noticing now that you've actually said them all out loud or actually just got them out? You've communicated them. Like, what's present now?
I think it becomes... more clear on the things that are holding me back, and they become sort of not an invisible target. It becomes something that you can actually go out and investigate. So, for example, like the illustrations.
Hold
of the
on
book,
for a second. Can I give you? Can I give you some quick coaching?
Yes,
now,
please.
Now, when you say awesome, So when you say, I think it's become less of an invisible target. Like, is it actually, or is it not? Like, because I think is kind of this thing which we say, oh, I think it's going to work. Like we say that so that we don't have to be on the hook for it will work or it won't. Or I don't know.
Mm.
Or it's just kind of like, oh, I'm going to try and do it. Like, it's like, that's like the thing which we say when we don't want to be on the hook for actually having to do it. Oh, I'll try.
Very guilty of that. Definitely.
Yeah. So if you have a look, okay, you've just acknowledged all of those different things. So how does it occur to you now? What's it actually like for you now in terms of like an invisible target or what's now available? And take out the I think, because everything you said before was perfect.
Yeah.
It's
much more clear on what I have to do. And it's the things that I would have to go through to have this thing finished are now much more outlined, much more clear. And it's not so much this idea that's, it's not some like, massive thing that that is almost a bit scary. It's kind of this thing, we've now outlined it. It's, I can see the things that I have to do. You can kind of mentally like see that they're possible to overcome almost as well.
Yeah. And you was going to start talking about the illustrations. I mean, that's a perfect one to look at. So now that you've had a look at it, I've got no idea how to make it look good. Mm. Like, what are some actions that you could now take to A, find that out, or potentially even better, like outsource it so that you don't have to worry about that?
Yeah, I would probably start with finding, at least seeing if there are other books that or other resources that are similar and see how they've gone about like the way it looks. And then I could decide, you know, is this just a Word doc type thing where I can just write it? Or is it something where, you know, I need to have like fancy illustrations and like cartoons and like all this kind of extra stuff? Because in that case, yeah, perhaps then I would go onto like Upwork or Fiverr or one of those kinds of websites and just see what kind of the price range for this sort of thing would be and see if then it would be worth it or if it's worth me just learning it and having a crack myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, perfect. So like right there, you've actually now got a couple of openings for action.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, quote compilation ebook.
Yeah.
And just see what you find.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. And you could actually, and by the way, right, like just, this is a great example of how the questions will shape your answers. Cause one of your questions was, or one of your uncertainties was, should it be free or should it be paid? Right. And then obviously you can tell that the bigger question there is how much should I charge? Because in the world of should it be paid or not, free is easy. Free is zero. But like paid is like, should it be $5? Should it be $4? Should it be $4.95? Should it be $10? Should it be $100? What's the actual appropriate sort of thing? Now you've got this whole other kettle of fish. But just notice that the question shapes the value of the information you're going to get, because inside of that, should it be paid or not paid, there's actually a third option. All right, there's probably more options, right? Like, but there's a third option, which could be, hey, do I let people pay what they want? Or do I give this for free to people who are subscribers and they get,
yeah, I think the,
or do
the
I, do I give this for people who are going to give me their email address so they can be part of the actual community?
Yeah. Yeah. I think
so. You stop looking at payment purely and start looking, okay, what's the value exchange?
Yeah, what's
the value? Sharing with people, supporting with people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting way of looking at it. Definitely. Because, what's it going to be worth to someone is probably, better than just thinking about it from my side. Like, what do I want to get out of it, almost? You know, rather than, like, how much is value in this that it's worth to someone.
Yeah, and starting from where you're at is fine. It's valid, right? Because then you know that, hey, like, this is going to, it's going to be aligned with what's important for you. And what you said is perfect, because it's equally critical for the people who are going to be reading this, for the people that this product or this resource is going to make a difference to. It's equally critical to get what's important for them and really understand that, like, hey, what do they want? What's going to make a difference? And you know what will also kind of have that sort of spring up? I mean, you've got all those snippets, you've got all those podcasts recorded. You could just kind of spend like, I don't know, if it's at the last 5 minutes of every podcast, you've got 20 podcasts in a couple of weeks' time, you could go, okay, I'm going to spend 20 podcasts times 5 minutes. Don't ask me to do maths on a podcast, but like you could spend that time just listening through to it and actually just kind of going, okay, what are the different categories? What are the different pieces of advice? Like what of it is the same? What's different? And you can kind of go, okay, we've got like 5-6 distinct categories of advice. And some people might overlap to different sectors. And you'd be like, okay, cool, that's interesting. Who would benefit from this? Who would this make a difference to? And then you'd be in effect, you'd be taking some action, right? Because now you've got the bare bones. You've got the raw materials. You've got the podcast. That's ultimately like one of the extremely like powerful value propositions for doing a podcast, because you get to accumulate and you get to collate incredible ideas all together.
And you can absolutely do that. And you can actually go, okay, look, like this resource was like essentially co-authored. You got to ask permission for this, but like most people will be like,
yes.
Yeah, with these people. And they get their name in it. And you can be like, hey, do you want to share this out to your communities? Let's spread the word. Let's get more and more people aware of like different ideas which are going to make a difference for this audience.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
I know. So now you've seen it in action. And by the way, this was perfect that you did this. I want to thank you because that takes a level of courage to like live on your podcast, kind of be the person who's kind of like interacting. So I really acknowledge you, James. And because really, we just took something from a theoretical concept. Because you asked me the question, I was like, yeah, happy to answer the question. I did answer the question, but it actually came to life for you. And even this example, because it's a real example, it's a real life example, it's no hypotheticals, it's going to actually come to life for our listeners as well.
Mm.
Like in the actual doing it. Because if you have a look, like I asked you, what are the things you're worried about? What are the things you're uncertain about? You listed it. We actually got, okay, given that you're uncertain about these things, given you now, like we didn't physically write them down, but we listed them out. Like, and it's forever embedded in this podcast. So you can look back, right? And
then you started to go, okay, hold on. As well.
there is. Like, you've got like, okay, I've got this space now. It's longer this sort of vague, vapid, elusive, invisible sort of task. It's like, okay, this whole bunch of smaller things.
Yeah.
And we actually started having a look. Okay, one example, creating this resource, illustrating it specifically. What are some of the things I can do? We also explored payments and what that might even look like. So right now, you've actually seen it in action. And now, like, now let me ask you, what one or two actions are you going to take in the next, well, today? And make them as small as appropriate, given the time you've got, because you're a busy guy, you've got stuff on, right? But like, what's one or two actions which you could take, or which you will take? Could's one of those, I'm going to try sort of phrases.
Yeah.
So what's one or two actions you will take today?
Yeah, I think today I can have a look at trying finding some other books. I think that would be a good place to start and just see kind of what's the structure that they've gone for, what's kind of, you know, what's the style, what do they like? I think that be pretty informative, kind of the things that I would want to do.
So you can do that, but are you going to do that? Notice is, oh, I can do that, but like, what's the action that you're actually going to take?
I'm going to do that today.
So I will.
I'll Google the, I think you had a good name for it, but you know, other early career related ebooks, and just and see the kind of structure they've gone for.
Yeah, perfect. Another one you could Google is like podcast quotes compilations ebook.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like you could come up with a couple of them and just kind of do it. So yeah, like your action could literally be typing things into Google 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
So now you've got a clear first place to start and you don't know if there's anything there. So there's some experimental nature. You're going to get what you get. And inside of taking that action, and you've told everyone in the podcast, by the time this podcast is out, you probably have done it. Well, you will have done it because you're going to do it today. And that's it in practice.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I really like this. Yeah. I think this is cool. And like even the thing you mentioned earlier was like, what's the smallest, like getting it down to the smallest action that could be
taken.
Yeah,
what's the smallest actionable step?
Smallest actionable step. Yeah, I think that's really useful because then it's, like we've said, having this whole list of things that's kind of vague and out there, and it's hard to imagine how you would even overcome some of those problems, but really breaking it down to, okay, what like is the next step that I can take? And that's something that's achievable. I know how to do it. You know, I can do that. And then the whole thing is really just the sum of all of those little steps. So, starting there will get you to the end eventually. So, yeah, I think that's really cool. And it's something that I'll endeavor to apply more to the things that I'm doing. Yeah.
Don't endeavor to apply more. Just say, I'm going to apply it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to apply it more. Yeah.
No, not like more. Just I'm going to apply it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to apply it.
Yeah. That's spot on. Wow. I mean,
perfect.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to kind of, take this, this action, this kinds of things we've spoken about, and kind of relate that into a career kind of theme and some of the things that, you know, threads that are common in the podcast. Particularly, I think a lot of this stuff with taking action can be similar. Let's say it might not be starting a project, but it might be, I'm not liking where I'm working, I'm going to look for another job. You know, it's a similar process where it's like, yeah, okay, what is the next step? Okay, maybe it's like fix up my resume a little bit. Maybe it's, you know, get Aaron to look at my resume for me. You know, then it's like, okay,
yep,
you know, go and find other companies that I would want to work at. Maybe it's like connect with some of them. But a lot of these things, like, you know, seeing yourself and where you are and then working somewhere else, just to take one career example, you know, I think a lot of these things are quite similar.
Yeah. And here's something which doesn't often get discussed is, okay, like, because all of those things are a form of, okay, I'm going to leave the company, I'm going to leave the position. So I'll throw one out there, like, okay, like, what would it actually take to resolve the thing about which I'm unhappy?
Yeah.
Because if I'm not liking my job, like, you could start by exploring, okay, what specifically am I not liking about it? What's there? Is it a person? Is it a situation? Is it a way or system of doing business? What's the actual thing? Because often, similar to when we looked at that hesitation before, like the uncertainty, often it's this sort of vague sort of thing, right? We actually like, I feel uncomfortable, therefore it sucks, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not disagreeing that it sucks, right? It probably does suck. In fact, for a lot of people, it's one of the It's a major cause of stress, like not having that sense of happiness or fulfillment at work. It is a major cause of stress, right? And actually having a look, okay, what's actually there? What am I upset about? Who am I upset about? Like, what is it there? What are the questions? And then you could apply the same sort of things, right? Okay, what are some of the things that I could do? Or if I don't know what to do, what can I find out about how to resolve this situation? Now, this would be, if you actually do enjoy a couple of things about the business, because most people don't go to a company that they don't have at least one or two things which they enjoy about it. Like, the majority of people are like, okay, cool. So it might be what the company does, what the company is out to accomplish, might be the type of work. So you can kind of get, okay, hold on, I did join this company for a reason. Like, should I up and go? Maybe, like, that is one of the options, right? I'm not discounting that, but having a look at, okay, like, what is it? What would it actually look like? Not just for me to be able to tolerate this now, because there's a certain level of, like, it's gonna suck, then it's gonna suck a bit more, and you tolerate that as you go until it gets to the point of, like, man, this is almost unbearable. I gotta get up, gotta do the resume, gotta do all this sort of stuff. And most people in that situation, the results are also kind of going from here to, like, just like, as your dissatisfaction with work increases, your productivity and output tends to decrease for the majority of people. Now, if you let that go on for too long, that can have an impact on your future career, because if they call up for a reference and you haven't been just kind of like doing what you need to be doing, then that can kind of cause this sort of downward spiral. And it's often talked about in the, hey, let's get the new job, let's do all that sort of stuff. Always happy to talk about that. In fact, that's what most people talk to me about. But having a look at, okay, why am I unhappy? Why am I dissatisfied? Like, what is that actually about? And what could I actually explore? What are some of the options? What could I find out about resolving that? Who could I speak to? Who could I share this with? What could actually get done? Because in a lot of situations, like, in a couple of steps, like, chances are someone doesn't know that you're upset. Someone doesn't know that you're unhappy. And if you communicate, like, authentically and openly, hey, it might still end up resulting in you leaving. But now you've got the opportunity to actually shape your environment to how you actually want it, to what's going to make a difference for you. So that's something which I would actually recommend.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really good advice. I think, that's this whole idea of, like, naming the things that you're struggling with and working out exactly what they are is really critical, like, regardless of whether it's a taking action, you know, situation, or if it's like, yeah, these kinds of things where something isn't going so well, you know, really making those problems visible and, you know, almost facing them directly is really important, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's super powerful.
Yeah, cool. I like this a lot. But yeah, I want to I know we've spoken for a while now, and I want to ask, you know, we can probably wrap this conversation now, but I want to ask one more question before we go on. And that's something, you know, we've spoken about with the, you know, what I do with all the guests, this question, right, is, you know, you starting your career again today. I mean, you've done all this kind of stuff like public speaking, coaching, you're an entrepreneurship leader, you know, facilitating workshops, you know, you do all this kind of really wide range of things. I mean, you know, you see so many young people going through this stage from uni or from school to uni to work, you know, this whole, you know, this whole period. I'm curious, what would be some advice or some really key principles that you would give to people going through this transition into their first like full-time role?
Perfect. The number one piece of advice I would give is share what you're up to. Share it with your family. Share it with your friends. Share it with your network. Just tell people, hey, this is what I want to be doing. This is the type of work. This is what excites me about. Share that with as many people as possible. And inside of sharing it with people, things are going to happen, right? Like people are going to be like, oh, hey, have you heard about this job opportunity? Have you heard about this volunteering opportunity? Have you thought about joining this hackathon? Have you seen this thing? People who are in that same sort of journey or going towards something else might be like, hey, I'm also doing this. Let's catch up. Let's connect. Let's collaborate. And you might learn from them. You might contribute to them. And inside of sharing what you're up to and what you're out to accomplish, which could be like in an early stage of careers, like, hey, I really want to be an amazing product manager. I really want to be an amazing systems engineer. I really want to be an amazing junior HR manager. I really want to be an amazing anything. Insert like career here. Like you can start to kind of get, hey, what excites me about this? And it doesn't have to be this big, aspirational, amazing sort of thing, right? It doesn't have to be like, hey, I'm joining Tesla to create the brand new next like powered smart home battery motorcycle, whatever it is, right? It doesn't have to be this incredible. That's going to go to Mars, by the way. It doesn't have to be that. Like you could have a look at your early stage career. It'd be like, okay, look, like what I'm committed to is like, hey, I'm committed to really discovering the world of finance so that I can make a difference to the everyday people who use Company X's services. Right. And as you share that, as you start to explore that, not really two things will happen, right? Like you will start to deepen your awareness of like, hey, what am I actually wanting to do? So that'll naturally happen. You deepen it. The more conversations you have, the deeper it'll get for you. The more that you explain it or share it with people, they're like, oh, like that's interesting. Tell me about that. The more it'll be real for you. And the more that your environment can kind of start to pull for, hey, James is the person who does that podcast. Of course, I'm going to, like, if someone comes up to me, of course, I'm going to recommend him to him. It would just make sense because you're sharing what you're up to is the number one thing that influences your environment. That could be a post. That could be in conversations like, hey, what have you been doing? Or what have you been up to? Or how's it going? In Australia is the equivalent of saying, hello, but please don't actually tell me how you're actually feeling or what you're doing. The correct response actually is like, yeah, nothing much. How about you? Mm. But instead, when you get asked that question, hey, what have you been up to? You can actually talk about that. You can just share, hey, like I recorded a podcast in the week. The podcast guests actually flipped it on me, started asking me questions for a little bit. It was actually pretty cool. And out of that, look, what I'm about to create for this podcast is like, I'm really going to think about how do I create more and more value for people because I'm committed that the listeners of Graduate Theory Podcast and the community that we're building really experiences having the best possible resources and the best preparation and the support and guidance that they need so that they can take the action in their lives to take their careers to the next step. So that's what I've been doing this weekend. So that could be, I just made that up for you, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm up
for it. And people were like, wow, tell me about that. Yeah. And then it builds.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so share what you're up to. Share what you're up to.
Yeah, that's cool. I certainly think, you know, we can all do better at that, I think. you know, just sharing what we're up to, like developing our networks, you know, I think it's really, really cool. Yeah, great. Well, yeah, thanks so much for coming on today, Aaron. It's like, yeah, personally for me, so valuable. Thanks so much for your questions and helping me out with that. And I think there's a lot of great takeaways in there for people listening to this, whether it's around, you know, the smallest possible action, or, you know, this idea of sharing with your network. I think is, you know, really, really great advice and some great takeaways there. But if people want to get in touch with you and find out more about the things that you're up to, where is the best place for them to?
Best place to connect with me is on LinkedIn. Type in my name, Aaron Ngan, into LinkedIn and you will find me. Or linkedin.com/IN/Aaron Ngan. Just one name, no dashes. That's the best place to connect. And mention that you came from the Graduate Theory podcast. I'd love to connect with you, support you with anything to do with your career, entrepreneurship skills, public speaking, being able to powerfully express yourself, all of it. Please connect.
Sweet. Well, yeah, we'll leave that for you, for everyone in the show notes below. But yeah, thanks so much again for coming on today, Aaron. And yeah, we'll be in touch.
James, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. And I look forward to chatting with you more in the future.
Thanks so much for listening to Graduate Theory. And if you want to find out more about Graduate Theory, please go to graduatetheory.com. And if you want to hear more from me straight to your inbox every single week, please go to graduatetheory.com/subscribe, where you'll be able to get emails from me every single week containing my takeaways from each episode. I look forward to seeing you there, and we'll see you next week.